This message that the Lord has laid on my heart is called Much Left. And so Easter has passed, right? The Easter season has passed. Resurrection Sunday was last week, and you heard about that resurrection. You heard about Jesus defeating the grave. You've heard about salvation and new life that he offers to all that come through him. And when we think about that season, that Easter, for those of you who don't realize it, last week obviously was a record attendance for not just for Connection Church, but for like probably almost 11 or 12 years. That was our highest attendance. But there's a lot of buildup to Easter Sunday. We kind of look at it kind of like the Super Bowl of our faith, right? We put a lot of energy into that, a lot of buildup, a lot of excitement. There's a lot of anticipation for that day. And once it's over, a lot of times people are like, that was great, but whew, man, I need a break. I need some rest. But what's next? What comes after that great, awesome celebration? See, the Super Bowl, when you think about it, what do? They start over again next year, right? It's like we got to start over and build up toward that one event next year because they get a new champion every year. So they have to start over every year. But how many of you know this morning that we don't have a new champion every year? Jesus is still the victor. He's still the champion. He's already won. And guess what? When we celebrate Resurrection Sunday next year, guess what? He wins again. And the next year he will win again. And the next year he wins again. And he wins again because there is no end to his reign. There is no end to his kingdom. There is no end to his rule. His victory is eternal. It's permanent. So for us, what is next? It's not just a little bit of a rest and then a build up for next year, but what's next? What's left for us right now, today? What do we have to do? Well, the Word of God tells us that there is much left, right? Church, there's much left for you to do. There's much left for the Holy Spirit to do in our lives and in our city and in our community. There's still ground to take back from the enemy. And there will be ground to take back from the enemy each and every day until Jesus comes back to rule and reign on the earth. Amen? There will always be more ground for us to go and to take. And when you look in the Old Testament, when you follow the stories through for the children of Israel, for the Israelites, and you find there are many, many promises. How many of you know there are many of those promises that we've seen that have already been fulfilled, right? What we celebrated last week was a promise that was already fulfilled. But as you read through and see what the children of Israel were promised, you will also again find that there is much left. Church, this is the beauty of Christianity. The beauty of Jesus is that there is always more for you and for me, right? You never fully arrive. You never fully get it all, not until that day when we're glorified. Hallelujah. When you start to see the bottom of people's feet, right? Those people, they received it all. Hopefully that's not you or me. Hopefully we're the ones that people are seeing the bottom of our feet as we are ascending up to meet the Lord in the air. But there's always something more to hope for in Christ. There's always something more to attain in Christ. There's always much left. And these Israelites, as you know, they wandered around the wilderness, right? As they wandered around, they had been miraculously delivered from Egypt. Moses and Aaron, as they led them by the Lord's presence. Right, this presence we know you've heard of, this pillar of fire by night, this pillar of a cloud during the day. And what would happen is they would settle, that pillar would come down upon the tabernacle, right, that cloud. But when it would lift, they would travel. And it says that they would travel whether it was day or night. And we're going to start in Numbers chapter 22 this morning. Numbers chapter 9, verse 22. It says, whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year, that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and would not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. See, the Israelites, God's people, right? The people of God, the children of God, they followed God. You guys realize that's kind of the point, right? If you're a child of God, if you're the people of God, if you say you're a Christian, by definition, you are saying, I am a follower of Christ. You're saying, I will go where he will lead me. And this is what the Israelites did. It said they followed him day or night. They followed him day or night. It said they followed him every day. And when you read this story, you see that some of their journeys were very short. Some of their journeys were very long. Sometimes they set and encamped and they waited for days. Sometimes they set and encamped and they waited for months. Sometimes they set and they encamped and they waited for years. See, I think when we read that story, we have this picture that they would travel. You know, the pillar would lift up and be like, let's go. And they would travel and they would get tired and the pillar would lower down and they would take a nap or sleep for the night. And then the next morning, that's kind of how I think we picture it in our minds. But it says that they went when the Lord said, go. They stopped when the Lord said, stop. And it said that sometimes it was for days or months or years. Sometimes it was a short time. Sometimes it was a long time. But what I'm trying to say here is that when you are God's, when you belong to him, when you're the type of person who celebrates Resurrection Sunday, when you're the type of person who says, I claim that I belong to Jesus, that this life, what we saw the Israelites living in this moment, is the life that you're signing up for, right? It's not just about church attendance. Church attendance is important. I believe that Christ died for the church. I believe that this is his plan for us to gather wherever we gather. It doesn't have to be here, but to gather, to meet regularly, not just when it's convenient. It's his plan for us to assemble, but it's also his plan for us to go out, okay? But you don't become a Christian to just do this. This isn't it. This is like coming to an equipping seminar. I'm not just talking about what I'm saying up here. I'm talking about the worship part. I'm talking about the prayer part. I'm talking about the encouraging one another while you drink coffee part. I'm talking about the hanging around at the end if we have food or fellowship. All this stuff is to equip us to do the work of the kingdom of God. Amen? Okay, so this is it. It's not about checking this box. We are committing to living a life where we will follow Jesus day or night. Where we have this privilege, church, that we don't have to look outside and look for this pillar of cloud and this pillar of fire, but we have the Spirit within us that leads us and guides us day or night, moment by moment. And there's times in our life where, like the Israelites, where the Spirit leads us on a short journey, just a quick job, something simple and easy to do. There's other times where he leads us on long journeys. But then if you look at the flip side of that, there are also times where he says, sit down in camp and wait. Sit down in camp and wait. And you might wait for a day. You might wait for a month. You might even wait for years before he says, okay, it's time to move. It's time to go. So what then? What must we do? We see the Israelites in Numbers 9, verse 23, their response. It says, at the command of the Lord, they remained encamped. And at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord. And at the command of the Lord, by the hand of Moses. See, they just did what God said. They didn't worry about what was next. They didn't try to figure out what God was up to. They just had their focus, their attention on his presence. They had their attention on his presence. Oh, The spirit has lifted, right? The cloud has lifted. It's time to go. The resurrection is the most important part of our faith, right? Paul wrote that if without the resurrection, if Christ has not risen, that our faith is futile. It's worthless. It's pointless. Go back to living how you were living. There's no point in this if Christ has not risen. But he has. Amen? And this is the most important part, that we can have new life in Christ Jesus. But if you want to experience the much left part of our faith, what comes after this abundant life in Christ, then this is what it takes. Remain encamped. Remain encamped. In other words, it means to settle in. Settle in to God's presence. Settle into following the Spirit of God wherever he will lead you, and stopping when he tells you to stop. Settle in. Have you ever texted or called somebody who was settled in for the night, right? Hey, you want to go bowling? You want to go eat at Fridays? Or, you know, you want to go do something? And they're like, no, man, I got my PJs on, right? I already got my sweatpants on, and I'm settled in, right? What happens here when they are already settled in? If they're settled in, then it means that they've already made a decision, and they made that decision before you ever even called, right? It doesn't matter what the proposal is, what the thing is that you're offering. They've decided when they put those PJs on that they were settled in. They weren't moving. They're firm in their decision. They're encamped. See, if you're going to settle in, you've got to make a decision. And we've got to settle in to God's presence. We've got to settle in, remain encamped here. We've got to come to this place that we realize that this decision to accept Jesus was an important decision, right? It's an important decision in our life, and we have to settle into that. But you also have to realize that your life is made up of decision after decision after decision. Are you going to settle into following Jesus no matter what? No matter what else is offered, no matter what else comes your way, are you going to settle in to following Jesus, to deciding to choose him time after time after time? Because listen, you know, you decide what you would rather do. When you are presented with two options, you get to decide which one you want to do. Now, a lot of times you'd be like, well, I can't because of this or that, but ultimately you're deciding what you want to do. You're in control of what you do. You decide your priorities. You decide who you're going to listen to. You decide who you're going to ignore. And just the way that works with people, it also works with us and God. We decide. We decide, am I choosing to remain encamped and follow Jesus no matter what? Or am I going to choose to go my own way? See, when we decide to follow Jesus, we make this decision that we go when he says go, that we wait when he says wait, no matter what, no matter when, no matter why, no matter how. We remain encamped. Because when you remain encamped, when you settle into the decision to follow him, church, you settle in to living a life in his presence. Right? I love that, you know, if you're not going with me, I'm not going. Remember that? Lord, if you're not going with me, I'm not going either. Right? That's the way that we ought to be living our lives. That, Lord, if you're not going with me, I'm not going. I'm following you. You show me where to go. We remain encamped as near as we can, but because, church, there is much left. But if there's much left for you and for me, it means we have to choose, decide, settle in to being obedient to what God says to us. See, the Israelites, have you ever wondered why they wandered for so long? Why'd they have to wander around and around and around? Listen, church, it wasn't like a long straight line, they were like going in a circle, right? It's like getting in your car and turning the GPS on, and it's like right after you pass the road, it's like, turn left. And you're like, oh man. And you got to make that loop around. So me and Marissa did this the other day. When you go to St. Louis and you go by in the Brentwood area near the Galleria, and there's this one place where the GPS tells you to go up, but you really need to go down. If you go up, guess what you got to do? You got to come around again. And then guess what I will do? I will go up again because I'm not very smart. Marissa's like, I'm pretty sure you need to go down there. Even though it says go up, you go down. And I'm like, no, I mean, that sign says I need to go that way. And you go up and she's like, I don't know what to tell you, man. You're going to have to go down the next time you come around. Or I've done this at the airport, too. When you're going to the airport, if you miss the wrong turn, it's like, well, I guess I'm just going to circle around again. This is what Israel was doing, right? They were circling around and circling around and circling around, mostly because of their disobedience and their refusal to take the left when they were told to take the left. They decided that while they would follow God's presence, that there are times where they would disobey and not listen to God. In their case, their disobedience caused a delay in them receiving the promise of God. It didn't void the promise. Hear me out. It didn't void the promise. The promise was still the promise. See, God doesn't take a promise back, but their disobedience delayed the promise. It delayed their ability to receive the promise. And Moses gives them this reminder in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7. He says, For what great nation is there that God is so near to it as the Lord God is to us, for whatever reason that we may call upon him? For what great nation is there that could have God so near to it? Church, that's you and me. What great people, what great faith is there that has God so near, right? He is near to us, amen? How amazing is it that he is near? And yet we spend long periods of time, instead of trying to follow him and get nearer, we decide, I'm going to do what I want today, and I'm actually going to go away from him and go another direction. There's so much more for us, church, as a child of God, that we have God who is so near, so close. There's so much more. He was close to the Israelites in the wilderness, but he's even closer to you and me today. Amen? I mean, hallelujah. How great is that? That Moses would go on to tell them why they need to remember what God has done for them. In verse 9, he says, take heed to yourselves and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And teach them to your children and grandchildren, especially concerning the day that you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb. And the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. See, we've got to be on guard, church. This is what is next. This is what comes after Resurrection Sunday, is that the people of God have got to be on guard. On guard against what? Well, first of all, we've got to watch ourselves, is what it tells us. We need to watch ourselves. It's not a moment of rest. We rest in Christ. Amen? You find your rest in him not by just doing nothing for a long period of time. We find rest in him, but we've got to watch ourselves. Because if we get laxed, if we get lazy, if we keep taking time off, who wants to go back to work after a vacation? Right? I mean, who? Nobody wants. I mean, unless you had a really dreadful vacation and you really like your job, maybe. Most of the time, you'd rather stay on vacation. If we get in vacation mode as believers in Christ, if we get in vacation mode because Resurrection Sunday has passed, listen, we may find ourselves in this place where we begin to forget what God has done. We may forget what he has done. Moses, he warns them, don't forget what God has done, but also you need to be telling your children. You need to be talking about it to your kids. You need to be talking about it to your grandkids. Think about that for a moment. What does that signify to you? You ought to be talking about the things that God has done for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life, for all of your days, you should be talking about what God has done. And he says, especially that day where you stood before the Lord and you heard his voice. Especially that day. You should be talking about for the rest of your life that day where you stood before the Lord and you heard his voice. Now for you and me, maybe you didn't stand at the foot of a mountain with God's presence at the top. Maybe you didn't hear an audible voice, but if you were born again, if you have been redeemed, if you have been forgiven by the blood of Christ and you are born again, church, something has happened. Spiritually, you have stood before the Lord and you have heard his voice. Amen? And if you have heard his voice and you've stood before him and you are born again, it says especially that you should never forget and you should be talking about it until the day you are no longer here. But you should be talking about it to your children and your grandchildren. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Right? My sheep hear my voice. If you are his sheep, then you have heard his voice. He says, and I know them and they follow me. It's not just that they know my voice. It's not just that I know them, but also they follow me. He says, and I give them eternal life that they should never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Church, this right here, this is the key. Following Jesus, continuing to chase after him. Remember his saving power. Remember that he loved you and me even when we had sinned against him. Remember that he is with us. Remember that he is for us. And remember to do what he says, right? Remember to do what he says because it's for your good. It's for his glory. There's so much left for us. Deuteronomy 5:33 says, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. See, God wants us to listen to him and follow Christ, not because he's mean or controlling and doesn't want you to live a good life, but it's because he is loving and he cares about you. And he doesn't just want you to live a good life. He wants you to live a blessed life, a life that is full of him and his promises and his purposes for your life. He knows that for you and for me, that after the resurrection, right, there is so much left for the church. There's so much left for his people. And see, far too often, people get what they want from God, and then they kind of go silent. I got what I wanted. You get salvation. And then I'm gonna live the way I want. I'm going to do what I want to do. It's like nothing happened in our lives, but I was saved. I can remember that day when I did that action, when I repeated that prayer, when I did that thing. But see, God wants us to do more than just be saved. He wants us to walk in his ways. He says, if you walk in my ways, if you obey my commands, he said, do that so that you may live. And I know you're thinking, but I'm going to live either way. No, this means that we continue to live. It means that it sustains our life. It's about Jesus. John 8:12 says, then Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world, and he who what? Follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He doesn't just want you to have life, but he wants you to have the light of life, which is Jesus himself. He says that if you will follow him, if you will obey him, he says that it will be well with your soul. How many of you guys want it to be well with your soul? I want it to be well. This means pleasing to our soul. This means joyful to our soul. It means beneficial or favorable to our soul if we what? If we follow Jesus. Psalm 5:12 says, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. You will bless the righteous. Who are the righteous? That's you and me if we've been born again. If we've been born again, we are the righteous because we have the righteousness of Christ. And it says, for those people, you will with favor surround him as a shield. You will help him to have joy and peace and be pleased and be full of benefit and favor from God. And then he says, if you will follow me, if you will obey my commands, he says that you will prolong your days in the land. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to prolong my days in the land. I'm like, Lord, come Jesus, right? Come, Lord Jesus, come. I don't want to stay here any longer than I have to. But think about this for a minute here. You know, if you're thinking, well, I'm right with the Lord and I don't want to be here any longer than I have to, if you're thinking that kind of way and you're thinking about, I'm ready to go as soon as the Lord wants to take me. That's an okay place to be in. But the land here that God was speaking of, you got to think about it in the context to the Israelites that you may prolong your days in the land. What was the land? It was his promise. You will prolong your days in God's promises. When you walk in his ways, it's not just that you will live longer on the earth, but it means that you will live more often in his promises. Church, there is much left for you and for me. There's a lot of promises that God has for us that we may not be experiencing in our lives. See, it's not just about getting to the land. I think the Israelites probably thought when they got to the land that's flowing with milk and honey, man, that's it, right? We're there. Hallelujah. Game over. Like, let's just chill. Let's enjoy what God has promised us. But it's not just about getting to the land, right? They got to the river. They crossed over the river into this promised land. For you and for me, that event right there is salvation. That event right there is being saved by grace through faith in Christ, right? We get to that promise. We enter in, so to speak, right? Both of these things, for them and for us, can incorrectly be viewed as like, this is the destination. We've arrived. It's time to chill. Once you get there, you can think it's over, right? I've made it. It's time to enjoy myself. But see, the Israelites, as they crossed over into the promised land, God had given it to them, right? God had promised it. God had delivered the land into their hands, and they got there. And he said, okay, now you need to conquer this territory. And they would do that, and now you need to conquer that territory. And they made a little bit of ground. They advanced their territory. It may have seemed like they should have been done. They've seen some things improve, and I'm afraid that this is where many Christians end up today, right? I got this promise of eternal life. I made it, right? I got life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I got baptized. I feel better. I feel a little bit more free. I feel like some areas of my life have changed for good. I've conquered some things, and I'm good right here. I'm enjoying where I'm at, but church, there is much left. There is much left from right here. And when you look at the story of the Israelites, they get to this place where I think they feel like they've arrived. And in Joshua chapter 13, I love what the Lord says to Joshua. It says in verse 1, now Joshua was old, advanced in years. And the Lord said to him, you are old, advanced in years, but there remains very much land yet to be possessed. There remains very much land yet to be possessed. But see, I love the Bible when it points out our excuses. See, Joshua, he was old. He was advanced in years. And then, if that's not enough, the Lord, as he's repeating to Joshua, as he's speaking, he's like, Joshua, I know you are old. I know that you are advanced in your years. But see, what I read this where it states Joshua's old and advanced, and then God says it. As I read this, I see that it's God recognizing that he knows what your excuse is before you even say it. He knows what your excuse is before you even have to verbalize it to him. It doesn't say that Joshua said that, but the story says Joshua was old. It had to be on his mind. It had to be something that he was hanging on to, and God is saying, I know what your excuse is. I know. Don't worry about it. And, you know, you might say that you're old. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. You might say that you are old. Listen, God knows that you're old, okay? It's not like he's unaware that you are old. You might be somebody that says, I'm too young, right? Listen, God knows if you're young. He probably doesn't think you're too young, okay? But he knows that you are young. You might say that I'm not skilled enough. God knows if you're not skilled enough. You might say that you're not smart enough or strong enough. Trust me, he knows these things. He knows, he knows, he knows. And he knew Joshua's case, and his response to you is the same thing that he responded to Joshua. Yeah, I know, but there remains very much land yet to be possessed. What he's saying is, you can have all the excuses you want. It doesn't change the reality that there's much more for you to do. There's much more for you to have. There's much more for you to access. There's much, much, much left. And that, yes, maybe you've entered into the land. Maybe you've had some progress. Maybe you've conquered some things. These things that God has given you. But he says there are areas of your life, there are areas and things that are available to you that remain untouched. They remain uninhabited. They remain unoccupied. It's yours. But you've got to go and get it. You've got to go and occupy it. And it's not just a little bit. It's very much land. You know, for me, for you, when I think about having very much left, church, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of hope for our nation. I really, really do. You may be one of those people that's of the mindset like our nation is unsalvageable. There's nothing that we can do. There is something that we can do. We can be the people of God. And we can trust in Jesus, and we can pray, and we can follow him. And if we let the Spirit of God really, truly change our lives and lead our lives, I believe that this nation can be redeemed. I believe that this nation can be flipped upside down and turned around, because I believe there's nothing that's too big for my God. I believe that our city still has hope. I believe that this state, believe it or not, still has hope. It really does. I mean, what about the people of God? Like, are we still here? Then how could it be over? Right? We have the power, resurrection power, of Christ within us. We are still here. There is still hope. Church, I believe that for the church, for the people of God, for the followers of Christ, those who celebrated his resurrection just 1 week ago, I believe that there is much left. There's a lot left. When you think about something being left, how many of you have been to some kind of meal or dinner where you get done eating, and it's like, how in the world could there be this much left? How in the world could there be this much left? I've been at a few of those meals where it's like, you're giving everybody as much as they can take home, and you turn around and you look, and you're like, it's like it's multiplying. There's still so much food here. Church, this is just a small, small picture of what it's like for us spiritually. Right, that there you may be taking bags and loads of stuff home. God is blessing you left and right, and you're conquering and overcoming and victorious. And if you turn around and look, it's like there's so much left. You're like, what in the world are we going to do with all of this stuff? Church, there's a lot left for the people of God. Much, much, much left. But the issue is that we come and continue with our excuses of why we can't do this and why we can't do that and why I'm too busy for this, I don't have time for that, but God wants me to do this, but I would rather do this, right? We come with all these excuses. Are we going to continue with our excuses, or are we going to press forward? Are we going to press forward and go and get and obtain and inhabit what Jesus has already purchased for us, what he has already given to us? And the thing about taking what God has already given us, the thing about that is every step that we take, every bit of ground that we gain takes a little bit more back from the enemy. See, we are part of the restoration process. That's part of the importance of the church. We're a part of the process. And every little bit of ground that we advance is a little bit of ground that the enemy loses. And every bit that we gain back is glory to God. Glory to God, giving Jesus what he paid for, redemption, restoration of the people on this earth. It all speaks of his power, church. It all speaks of his love for us. It speaks of his desire to give to us, to provide for us. Church, God does not just want you to be saved. He wants you to walk in and operate in resurrection power. Amen? He wants you to operate in it, walk in it, the same power. Somebody say, same power. Say it like it has power. Same power. It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead, church, that dwells in you if you belong to Jesus. The same power. Church, this is a huge deal. We're talking about the Spirit of the living God is in you. He's in you. He's in me. And you may be old. You may be young. You may be weak. You may be whatever, but listen, God has more in store for you and me than what we can even imagine. More than we can even imagine, more than we can even picture. I love in Jeremiah, God makes this statement. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. He says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh." And he says, "Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me?" Church, there's much left. There's much left for you and for me. And like the children of Israel, right? There is some land that they conquered together. They crossed that river and they conquered land together. It was for everyone. It was for the whole crew. And this is salvation in Christ. You guys know that's for everyone. Amen? He did it for everyone. Now, not everyone will cross the river. That's the problem. Not everyone will take that step of faith. You know, it took a lot of faith to walk across that river. Not everyone will do that, but he did it for everyone. You just got to be willing to walk across the river. But after they entered the promised land, here in Joshua, they begin to divide the land. See, there's some aspects of God, some things that are for everyone. Then there's some things where he personalizes it, and he's like, you know what, this land right here, this is just for you. This is for you to conquer. This is for you to come against. This is for you to go and get, and they begin to divide the land. Some for you, some for you. But listen, church, there was some for everybody. There was some for everybody. Every tribe had a section that they were to go and get. He said there's much left. And the question for us this morning is, what land is the Holy Spirit speaking to you to conquer today? What are those things in your life where God's like, all right, you've experienced salvation, you've experienced resurrection power, now let's press forward and get more ground. Let's take back more from the enemy. Let's recover what God has already purchased. Let's restore what God already had intended for you today. Church, there's things for you individually to go and get. There's things for us corporately to go and get. That's expanding the kingdom of God. Sometimes you might need to overcome some fear in your life. Maybe you need to say, God, the thing that I feel like you're showing me I need to overcome is fear. Will you help me overcome fear? Because I need to overcome fear so that I can go with the group and start to take over the world. I need to go conquer this fear so I can go with the group and start to go out and minister to my neighbors and tell them about Jesus. And I know that you said to tell about what you've done, but I have fear. Listen, fear is a land that you can conquer today. You believe that today? It's a fear is a land that you can conquer today. Maybe for you it's healing, that I've got this ailment, I've got this thing that is plaguing me, that is weighing me down. If I could just get through this, I know I would have the freedom to be able to do what God has called me to do. Listen, healing is a land that you can conquer because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's a land that you can conquer. I didn't put this out yet. I debated on how to share this, but we had healing right here at this altar last week of back pain in the name of Jesus. Right here. Listen, that wasn't me. That wasn't this worship team. That was the Spirit of the living God being moved with compassion upon one of his children, that he said, I've come to set the captives free spiritually, but also physically. Right? Your thing might be that you need boldness. Listen, boldness is a ground that you can conquer. You can get it. You can come to it. Listen, maybe you just need hope. You need hope restored. Listen, that is a ground that you can conquer today in Jesus. There is much left, church. There's hope for you. There's hope for you to possess, for you to occupy, for you to take ownership of. Do you believe that this morning? Just like two people believe that this morning. I hope that's not true. Would you guys stand with me? What I want to do is we enter back into worship. Church, I believe that the Spirit of God is willing and ready to speak to each and every single person in this place. He probably already has in some way, shape, or form. And what I want you to do is I want you right now to begin to seek God and say, God, what is that ground for me? What is that parcel that you have for me that I am to step into and to overtake and to battle the enemy and overcome by the blood of the Lamb? What is that thing for me? What do you have for me today? And if you already know that thing, as we get into worship here, I want you to begin to vocalize that. Listen, for some of you guys, this may be strange. You can say it quietly. I'm just saying, I want you to begin to vocalize it. Begin to take over that land because, listen, he's given us resurrection power. He's given us the power to overcome. There is nothing that's too hard for our God. So, Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, as we worship you, as we bend our ear toward you, as we listen to what the Spirit is speaking. Lord, would you give us those ears to hear? God, would you speak to our heart? Would you tell us if we don't know? Tell us what that land is for us to conquer. Would you lead us to it? God, we thank you for salvation, Lord. For those who don't know that today, God, would you let that be the first step of conquering, is conquering their fears and their questions and their what ifs by surrendering all to you today and saying, Lord, I receive what you have for me. Lord God, we believe that there is much left. And as a church, we want to see this city changed and this state changed and this nation changed. We want to begin to see revival upon the land. But Lord, we surrender right now and we say, start right here. Start in my life. Start in my family. Start in my home. God, would you give us the gumption, the attitude, the fortitude, the willingness to go forward, to press forward, to take hold of what you have already promised to us. God, we trust you and we believe that you are more than enough. Will you speak to us now and lead us and guide us? We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.